Everybody, welcome to 4-Player Podcast, E3 2016, day three, last day. E3 is over. How do y'all feel about that?
Feels like day 18.
Ugh. I just want to saw both of my feet completely off with a rusty saw, and
why is the saw gotta be rusty?
Never come back. I'm just kidding. I love E3, but It starts and everyone's so excited. There's video game announcements. Everyone wants to get on the show floor and play all the games. And then by about day two, it starts to be like, this is a lot of walking and standing and waiting in lines
bullshit. I kind of want to play a video game for more than just 10 minutes at a time.
Exactly. So today was the final day of the show floor. And we are done. We went to we had a community meetup tonight, which was nice. Our E3 community meetups are always pretty small events, but we had a couple people show up. It was fun. We played some arcade games, ate some food, had some fun, right? Why am I the one talking, people?
That
come
was
on.
Good.
Help me out.
I haven't introduced us.
Oh, god damn. What am I doing with my
podcast
life?
Podcast rules number one. You can't talk until you're introduced. Oh, no. Why am I talking?
Christopher Guthridge is to my right.
Hello. Now I can talk. Thank God.
Christopher Davis, also to my right.
Good evening.
And to my left, Nolan Hedstrom.
Freedom! I can speak. I'm here. I want to be heard.
Bob Webb.
I don't want to be heard. I just want to be asleep.
I think we're all about ready to sleep. It's been a long, long, long week. We played a lot of games. So we're going to go ahead and we're just going to knock this one out of the park. We're just going to just crank it out, talk about the video games, and then I think we're all going to pass out where we're standing or sitting. So we're going to start.
Can I talk about the first game I played today?
Yes.
So I
yes,
got
you can.
Got to the show floor, 10 o'clock, opens up the doors, go in, and I play the game, not at 11 o'clock, not at 12 o'clock, not at 1 o'clock, like a 1 o'clock is when I finally get in to play Zelda.
You must have been waiting in line for We Happy Few in the Xbox booth.
Yeah, myself and Bob were in line all morning.
Yeah.
I think the big issue was, and some guy made it very clear, that a bunch, and by a bunch I mean at least 70 or 80 exhibitors, had gotten in line to play Zelda before the show floor opened. So we had to line up behind them. And some guy got very upset about this because he said that exhibitors aren't supposed to be in the show floor to line up early. They're supposed to be there to set up their booths and that's it. And I'm starting a petition with the ESA, and everyone should sign it. He was walking around the line telling everybody this.
He was dead serious.
Oh, just don't let the exhibitors have any fun.
Right.
And so while I understand why he was upset, I don't think it's an issue. The exhibitors should be able to play a game. It sucks that it was the game that everyone else also
especially
wanted to play.
For the love of God, it's Zelda, people. This is an industry we all love, and we all... Like, Zelda is a huge part of that.
Yep. And so the line for Zelda was actually cut off within 20 minutes of the show floor opening.
Yeah.
There was already too many people. They're like, this is the end of the line. If you're behind this, you're not getting in. But there was at least 30 people that stood behind that this is the end sign, knowing that they probably weren't going to get in. I don't know if they did or not.
There's a GIF right here of everybody this morning.
Just this morning?
The man
rush.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a horde of zombies.
Wait, are we in it? I don't know. I mean, it's a high-profile shot.
It's hard to tell.
If you're looking at it, it's like a top-down isometric view of just
thousands of... These people
are
fucking running.
Dude, they were ridiculous. I briskly walked to the booth.
There's someone, I was behind someone who had literally both hands on the back of the person in front of him pushing them.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah. But there's this one guy.
It's like the running picture of the bulls.
There's this one guy in the picture, like, he's released the horde and he's going.
I saw that. I saw that guy. I walked past him and he was just holding up his arms. Yeah. But anyway.
Can we turn Nolan's microphone down a little bit?
Oh,
I don't know why, but last night, too, you were much louder than everybody.
Which one's
else.
Nolan's?
I'm sorry, I project.
We're getting
myself.
Too much Nolan.
I think the middle one. Try the middle one. I think Bob. Try the middle one.
Getting a little too much Nolan.
Is that better? Is that better, Nick? Is that a better
I'm
level?
Yes, the, that's much better.
Right, cool.
Is that better?
Okay.
I didn't
so,
do anything.
I'm that's kidding. Fine. He's like, I didn't change a thing. So yeah, so Bob and I finally got in. We got to play some Zelda, A Breath of Fresh Ass. Mainly because
that's not what I said. I said she's a breath of fresh air.
The demo does open with Link almost naked in some liquid, wearing very modern boxer briefs.
Dude, yes. Isn't the Sika tablet shit like really computery?
Yeah.
I hope this game goes like full.
You know it's not going to. Nintendo always plays it too safe.
No twists.
So I knew the demos boring. Were timed. I had received a few tips from other people. In regards to playing the demos, do this, don't do this, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't waste any time equipping any gear. I just ran around naked the whole time. Because
people gave you tips and you took, don't put on your clothes.
Why not?
Shirtless, clothes, or pantsless.
Yep.
Go find the ladle, do a ladle run.
Yep, exactly.
Were you like, hey, you got a Guitar Hero controller I can hook up to this thing?
Yeah, pretty much. And so, it was definitely a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It was the controls were new. The very nice Nintendo representative who was helping me was like, "Hey, press this button and you'll drop a bomb, and then press this button and it." And she literally just reached over and pressed it, and the bomb blew up at my feet, and took me down to half a heart.
Not sound like a very nice lady.
And then she was like, "Oh, you're weak. You should eat a mushroom." And I was like, "You think? You fucking think? Like, you didn't have to fucking do that." But yeah, other than that, she was actually a very, very lovely person. Very, very, very informative. I got to play Zelda. I mean, we did talk about it quite a bit yesterday. She says I got quite far into the second playthrough. I was in that...
you pull the Master Sword out of the thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't even quite make it to the Master Sword.
I was rushing as hard as I could. I skipped cutscenes. You cannot, with the magnet, lift up something under you, unfortunately. I tried, so it will cancel it out. You can try and like, and if activated as soon as right before you step on, but then it will cancel it out. So you can't. I was hoping I could, but you can't. I definitely had a lot of fun with it. Yes, and any weapon is breakable. I don't know about like Master Sword and stuff like that, but any weapon you just pick up is breakable. So I had two bows break on me.
Did you use a spear?
I did not find a spear.
Spear is pretty cool.
Yeah, I had the axe. The club and then the sword, which the sword broke on me. I really enjoyed it. I'm really excited to play the game when it comes out. Bob, did you have any other comments on what we played today?
Sorry.
Not really. It's...
God damn it, guys, it's so good!
No,
I'm
it definitely
curious,
is.
Like, seeing like the open world part, like they had a lot of icons on the map,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if that's just gonna be there when you kind of wander
you
around.
The little icon...
On the minimap.
You can place those.
There was some place there by default.
There's some place by the default, like treasure chest.
Treasure chest.
Like, it was probably for the
skulls.
Demo.
And probably. Oh,
I would think
they said it was
the
game. They said that it was like, oh, this is how you're going to start the game. And maybe it was the case. But we'll see if those are still there in the game proper.
Well, this was the free roam mode where...
Oh, okay, the free roam mode. I was talking about the second one.
Okay.
No, I think the free roam mode, I think they definitely added a bunch of stuff just to...
Because I was trying to explore, like, areas, and I found a giant rock monster, and I beat it with a...
Oh, you beat it?
Yeah. It took me a while.
Look at you, Bob.
It took me a while. I spent pretty much the entire time just breaking clubs on that fucking thing.
You're a braver man than I.
What did you get for beating it?
A bunch of ore. So they're basically like a giant resource.
Nice.
Monster. So the more you strike it, you'll get little bits of like these little gems and stuff you can either sell or maybe craft into something eventually, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But when you finally beat it, you get just a whole bunch of them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. We did end up giving one of our booth awards today to Zelda, which they ceremoniously took in the back room and threw in the pile.
They scoffed and just tossed it behind them.
We'll just add this to our... We have a room set aside for all of our booth awards. They just opened the door and threw it in and closed it.
That's not
it was actually
right.
It was the incinerator room that powers the entire booth.
I thought it smelled burning plastic.
Yeah.
They've got a guy back there covered in soot just shoveling awards into a burning fire.
Yep.
Zelda's great.
It definitely is.
Very excited. It's also one of those games that's kind of like, Jesus Christ, they've shown so much, but I still feel like I've seen so little.
Oh, because it's one of those situations where they just keep showing the same shit over and over
yeah,
again.
Yeah.
Which is good. I was a little worried. I was like, God, I feel like they're going to show too much. But I still haven't really seen, like, I also didn't watch, obviously, all the footage. They might have shown a lot more that I haven't seen yet.
Oh, yeah, they did, like, 8 hours of footage.
Oh, yeah.
And the other day, in the morning, I was kind of just scrubbing through some of it. And, yeah, they showed, like, I mean, not infinite amount, but they showed, like, interactions with, like, amiibos and stuff like that. And, you know, drawing in the wolf. And we talked about how, like, the wolf will have different health depending on how far your Twilight Princess save is. Stuff like
yeah.
that. So, I mean, yeah, there's plenty of content in this game.
Yep, I'm very, very, very excited. So, first things first this morning, Crispy and I arrived. And
Crispy and you arrived?
Crispy and I. Well, I mean, you were with us too, but you immediately went over to Microsoft.
Okay.
We stayed together.
Uh-huh.
Just say what happened.
Because we're friendly. We're
just
friends.
Say what happened.
We entered and we went straight for the Square Enix booth, yeah. where we played, like you mentioned before, we played Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age.
Nice.
Which I don't really have much insight to give you except to say that it's a really, 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 really pretty HD remaster
of
Final Fantasy XII.
Yeah, having never played the game before, I have no idea what was
so
going
you
on.
Lied to that guy.
Well, he was so weird. I just wanted to get him away from me.
You sound... never mind.
Well, you know...
Does the main character still look terrible?
Vaughn?
The main character has a name.
His name is Vaughn.
You know, I thought that was his name, but I couldn't remember for certain.
He looked terrible.
He's a fine character. Jesus Christ.
I prefer Bosch von Ronsenberg of Delmasca.
Of course you do. Everybody does.
Don't believe Andor's lies.
Vaughn is not really the main character. He is the mascot of that game, but he is not the main character of that game. Ash is a more prominent character than him. And pretty much every other character in that, he is literally just the face of the game on the box.
Who's the swagger dude?
Balthier, he's so much better
dude,
than
that
Vaughn.
Game. I was cool. Playing that game for like 15 minutes, like running around the world, talking to people, and the music.
Where were you at in the game?
I don't remember the name of the city.
We start
out in
the city. Okay, that's the second big area you go.
Yeah. And I just remember, like, that world was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely, definitely, 100% plan on replaying Final Fantasy XII.
Combat's still the same?
Yep.
Okay.
Combat still works the same. I mean, the UI has been cleaned up a little bit. I mean, not a lot, but, like, you know, it's been modified so that it fits better in the screen. And
yep.
It's 16:9, it's super crisp. The voice acting is great. I mean, it's all around. It's a really great HD remaster.
Thanks.
From there, sorry, my mic's not picking up very high. I don't know why. From there, Crispy and I walked over and played Deus Ex: Mankind Divided.
Oh shit!
It was pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. That's one of those games. I'm like, right before we played it, Crispy was like, "Are we excited for this?" And I was like, "Yeah,
yeah,
yeah." I think we're excited.
Well, I mean, it's a low key excitement because I don't know. I mean,
you've known about it for a while. It's a known quantity.
Yeah.
It's just like, I remember loving
it's
that game.
Out soon.
I remember loving that game, but it wasn't until I picked up a controller and started playing it again that
yeah.
I remembered why I love that game so much.
It's really cool.
The level design is great. There's so many secrets and little things to find and like stumble across, and there's so many. It caters to so many different play styles.
Yeah.
It's great. And in the demo, they let you choose between four different control schemes. One of which is a newly designed control scheme for Mankind Divided that you could also choose to play the entire game with the same control scheme from Human Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were two others. I don't really know what the differences were. I think those were slightly tweaked to make it
just
feel...
One was like a classic and one was a standard.
Yeah, one was like a classic like first-person shooter control scheme. I don't know.
It was pretty cool. It was, I mean, the demo they showed isn't really any different than what was going on in Human Revolution.
Yeah.
But...
You know what
that
I
was good stuff.
And one of the things I do like that I think they added. I think this is new. It's hard to remember, but they added like a XCOM kind of movement system when you're in cover, and you can like look, and when you peek out from the edge of cover, you'll see like a dotted, like a faded dotted line, and you can kind of position it, and when it touches a wall, a little icon will appear, and all you have to do is tap X, and then he'll run straight.
They had
to it.
Shifting cover, but
yeah.
They didn't have any kind of projection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So they have
yeah.
Now it kind of projects, and you can see exactly where you're going to run.
Yeah,
and it works. It works really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I accidentally alerted a dude when I didn't mean to, and I it was all downhill from there. It just collapsed into mass chaos, and I died. And then I was like, "Well, that was fun, but I don't need to restart."
did y'all get to try any of the new weapons or abilities? Or
really, they started you off with invisibility, the supervision. And then like a few passive abilities.
Yeah, there's one that I guess quiets your footsteps.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all pretty standard stuff.
So more of a stealthy loadout.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the cutscene is the one that they showed in the trailer where it's Adam and a team of commandos going into this abandoned facility in like Dubai or something like that.
And it was actually a resort hotel that was built out in the ocean that fell into ruin when what do they call it?
Basically, it was augmentation rights group or something.
Yeah. Well, there's like this whole game is centered around this concept of like there was an event, like a cataclysmic event, where all the augmented people were suddenly turned violent.
That was from the augment incident.
Yeah, the augment.
Wasn't that from the first game?
Yeah, it's the very end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah. All the augment people go crazy and attack everyone.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So it's.
I mean, so, at this point.
Yeah.
So from that moment forward, that's kind of what set this game in motion. And then like during the when they're giving the briefing, he asks you, you know, it's like, you know, I know you're really good and you're one of the only augmented people here, but you know, I'd recommend taking some hardware in there. And it gives at that point it lets you choose between
lethal
or non-lethal, and you're like, no, just give me a stun gun, or yeah, give me some hardware. That kind of thing. And that's one of the first choices you make in the game. Then
it's actually really similar to that first mission from Human Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, they've got, you know,
they've taken over this
terrorist group is in here. You got to go in there, find this guy. Oh, there's a couple secondary objectives. If you have a chance, do these. And then, you know, they equip you based on questions like do you want to do short range or long range combat? I mean, it's really more of like kind of an incremental step forward from Human Revolution, but Human Revolution was good, so I'm excited.
The one thing I was kind of bummed to see them bring back though was when you go up to do a takedown attack,
mm-hmm.
it literally still does that thing where it like cuts to black, and then plays the animation,
mm-hmm.
which kind of breaks the
it takes you out of it a little bit.
It takes you out of it a little bit. I was really hoping they would make that more of a seamless transition. Because there's so many games that do that seamlessly. I don't know why they're insisting on making it. It makes it look like they're playing a cutscene every time it happens.
Yeah, like it's just like playing a
video.
Even though
it's really not. It just kind of takes me out.
Yeah.
But the game still is great. It kind of was just a reminder to me that, yes, I am very excited to play more Deus Ex. It's going to be great. And then right after that, I was like, hey, Crispy, where are you going? And he just kept walking. I was like, Crispy, where are you going? Why aren't you talking to me? And he just kept walking. And then I was standing in a porn booth. Yeah.
We went back into the deserted corner of the South Hall, and there was a gaggle of men standing
around. How many people do y'all think were in line?
Probably about 60 to 80.
No, that is not how many people were standing there.
Really?
Do you not count?
Well, I didn't count the one, but okay, maybe 50?
It was like 30 people.
You think? All right, whatever.
We'll split hairs and say 45.
We'll call it 40. We'll call it 40. There was a lot of people.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people, all right? I didn't count them one by one. Go fuck yourself. I was too busy getting excited for porn, okay? Okay?
Yeah, so we did the porn demo that Nolan talked about last night. And it's fucking weird. It's really weird.
Don't worry. We filmed each other doing it. It's okay.
Oh, is that legal?
We asked the guy. So they give you these like face condoms to put on before putting on the goggles, which I think is true.
It's kind of like a surgical mask, but it's just a blue thing that goes around your eye.
That's what I saw people wearing. I couldn't figure out what it was for. Yeah,
you've never seen face condoms before? Chris Davis, you've been living a dangerous life.
A sheltered life.
Huh? It's been going in raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you see someone wearing that, it's because they watch virtual porn. So, yeah. I went first, and then Crispy went, and we switched off. We filmed each other. Don't worry, I'm sure that footage will find its way out there.
I like how that one girl takes the time to clean your dick, but then immediately is just like rubbing her asshole all over it.
It's like,
hey,
again.
Hey, you just clean that.
It's inconsistent.
And then like you're half inside of her, and she's completely naked, and then she's like, "Ooh, I think I'm getting horny." What? Okay. I guess that's good.
Crispy. She cleans dicks all day. It takes a little bit to
get
her.
She's a little desensitized to the penis.
Yeah.
You know, I will say this.
So when the anal bead thing started, did you stay long enough for the bead to actually pop out of her? Because when it comes out, there's like an audible.
Was like, the last one? I saw like two, I think.
Oh, we waited for the third one.
Oh, I didn't, by the third one, the VR goggles were off.
Man. Oh, that's right when it was getting good. What are you talking about?
While I was playing, the fucking low battery thing came up, and it was like battery critically low, and I was saying that out loud, and I'm like, oh no, and the video was over, and I took the headset off, and he's like, oh, did it die on you? And I'm like, no, I finished.
It was perfect. Also, when I was watching, it's kind of awkward sitting there with headset on, watching porn, knowing there's like 30 to 40 people behind you watching.
Mm-hmm.
30 to 40 dudes.
There's probably a few ladies.
There was one lady who was actually sitting there trying to get, like, all the men are like, hoo-hoo-hoo, porn, yes! And, like, and there's one girl who's there who's, like, genuinely interested, like, oh, finally, adult entertainment for my Oculus Rift. Let me ask you questions. And was, like, trying to, like, get actual information out of this guy, and this guy's like, "Oh yeah, let me tell you all about it." And then all the men are in line, just like, "Yes, yes, give me the porn." Like that was good.
The odd thing is when I was there yesterday, I saw at least 10 or 15 ladies in line.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was quite sure, a few. Ladies were interested. I saw ladies.
They were all there together.
Most people that were in line were men, but there were some ladies.
There's something weird about like every person who got up there. Weird, like, hands in pocket pose of like, I'm just being cool. This isn't weird or awkward in any way.
Well, it's pretty much the same thing that happens whenever you walk into a porn store. You just gotta act like, you know,
like the porn.
Like it's not. This isn't awkward. Like, whatever. This is like something. Like,
this doesn't bother me.
If you walk into a porn store and someone's like, "Hey, can I help you find anything?" You're like, "No, I'm cool. I'm just looking." You just act like you're totally supposed to be there and just pretend like it's any other store, and it's cool.
Do you have any size 12 dildos?
But I was watching, and you know, I'll tell you this right now: the moment you let the giggles get into you, it's over. Mm-hmm. I started right about the second anal bead. I started laughing. I started giggling, and I couldn't stop laughing for the rest of the demo. So yeah, that was fun. It works.
It's okay.
It certainly works. Crispy's over here looking around. He's getting his jollies off, and he's here looking around like, "Oh, that's a nice watch." Because you can see the dude's hand on the thing, and I remember him being like, "This is a really nice house." And I was like, "Come on, Crispy, focus, focus." Anyway, so that's VR porn.
You look forward to trying out again very soon.
No. I mean, I see what you did there. No. No. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe when they get the weird shit.
I'm afraid that's what you mean by
weird
shit.
I didn't know at first that everyone gets the same kind of like
video.
It's like a highlight reel.
Yeah.
It's like a minute and a half long. But I didn't know everyone gets the same thing. I was kind of half expecting to walk up, have them hand me the headset and be like, "All right, what do you want?" Yeah. And I was gonna be like, "That's putting me on the spot." And then
he looks at you and he's like, "Yeah, we got some gay
amputee porn." What did you ask that you were making some joke? And the guy from Naughty America was sitting there, and he overheard you and like actually answered your question.
Oh, I don't remember.
It was pretty good.
Do you have Pump My Stump?
I don't know.
I'm trying to imagine amputee porn, and the only image that comes to mind is,
"Oh god, oh god,
no arms."
That's exactly what it is.
Hand job, but with her armpit.
Oh, that's exactly
what the fuck. Why is that where you go?
I don't know.
Why is that where you go?
It's what happened.
You know,
I like how you know, he says, "I'm trying to imagine like he's never seen it before."
If this was a podcast about porn, I'd tell you some stories. But this is not. It's not.
I've seen things.
So let's get back to video games. Before I talk about my next game, what else? What else you got, Bob? You play anything today, Bob? That you'd like to talk about?
I played a little Headlander, which I think is what you talked about yesterday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, about last night. And Chrissy played it too. Yeah, it's pretty good. You liked it? Did you beat the demo? Or?
Yeah, I beat the demo. I actually saw it at Day of the Devs at GDC.
Yeah,
same demo. Mm-hmm. Though I guess eventually after that kind of intersection, you actually land on a space station, then it opens up to a full open world Metroidvania.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's pretty. Yeah, it's. I need a game. You know, it's interesting. I can see they got around the whole like male versus female character by not having them being
not
able
having,
to talk.
Yeah.
So there's no dialogue for the character because they have no lungs. No lungs. Yeah.
No lungs.
Yeah.
That works.
So it's interesting. It reminds me a little bit like a Shadow Complex with the aiming and whatnot, but you know, not the background aiming.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm interested to see how the twin stick
aiming on the console's two side scroller.
It'll be fun to see how the game kind of evolves playstyle wise, like with different mechanics and whatnot. He was saying it was going to be like a pretty long game too, like mm-hmm. 10 plus hours.
Nice.
So it's a pretty extensive experience. It's pretty girthy.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
There's a lot to penetrate there.
What's up?
Oh yeah, we did. So after
did you say penetrate?
Yes, he did.
Low key.
That's the other thing I did today is I got my hands on some dicks. So
yes, he did.
That caught me off guard for a second.
Firm grasp.
I had a very firm grasp on some very floppy dicks. We went back to Devolver Digital area to get some free beer after lunch.
Of course.
It turns out that the brilliant minds. At the Devolver Digital area, who were helping showcase Genital Joust, decided in their infinite wisdom the previous night after a few drinks to go to an all-night porn shop, an open all-night porn shop, pick up a couple of dildos, and slap them onto some joysticks so that people could have a full immersive experience of like grabbing a dick and trying to play Genital Joust with a penis.
Nice.
They ended up...
They even put little dresses
on
them.
Yeah, they ended up dressing them up in, like, little doll clothing. One had a mustache, one had a sombrero, and it was the weirdest way, but the best way to play this game. It was amazing. But the people that made the joysticks, they actually do arcade cabinets.
Yeah.
So it was kind of their thing, so they had all the equipment to do it, which is why they were able to throw it together. Yeah, they were able to throw it together in like a single night.
Nice.
Which was
I didn't realize that they dressed up the dildos.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're all dressed up in like little princess dresses.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's what he just said. Like they're dressed up just like the characters in the game.
Yep.
Are we calling the dicks characters?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do they qualify as character of the year at the end of the year? I don't know.
They're all dressed up like ladies though.
Yeah.
Yes, as they are in the game.
One has a mustache.
Except for the one with the mustache. That one's most clearly a male.
And the best, since Chai Tai and I both got there after a group had left playing, it was just the two of us, so we both grabbed two dicks, one in each hand, and we're dual fisting, like trying to like penetrate each other.
Y'all played a 4-player game, just the two of you.
The two of us, like it was really.
How do you even keep track?
Really
of
confusing.
It?
No, that's the thing.
We did it yesterday, I think. Me and myself and Patrick.
Yeah.
Because we were really confused as to how the controls worked.
Yeah,
because
it's the left analog stick controls one,
and
face
we
buttons
didn't realize
control
that.
One,
and
yeah.
the right analog
and the
stick
right
does too. So you can technically have three on each controller.
Wow. That's a lot of dicks.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of dicks in one very confined space. Mm-hmm. And so, at one point yesterday, we're doing each controlling two dicks. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember I had a black dick in my right hand and then like a blue dick in my other. So it was really, really confusing, but you eventually get the hang of it. You get the hang
of
it.
I'll tell you right now, this E3 definitely takes the cake for the most dicks.
Yeah. Well, the great thing is that, there was hand sanitizer available like immediately afterwards.
There was not hand sanitizer at the porn booth.
No, there was another guy there who apparently also played with a vagina earlier.
Nice. Wait, like a real vagina?
I don't know. He said something about playing with a vagina earlier, and I don't know if he was talking about the. I don't know if he was talking about the porn game or if there's some other kind of like vagina peripheral that was on the show floor, because he got all. He just had a buffet of genitals today.
A buffet of genitalia.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And they didn't have hand sanitizer at the vagina booth.
Oh, my God.
Who is publishing this game? Is it Devolver Digital?
So these are the same people that did...
Well, those are the Free Lives is who's developing it.
Yeah.
I assume Devolver is publishing it.
Devolver is probably publishing it.
It's at the Devolver Digital tent, so of course I would imagine...
Yeah, it was on their TVs and equipment. But I mean, it's a mishmash of a couple other... like Indie Bang Booth was there.
We finally found that footage yesterday of the kid wandering over to play it right... in the middle of an interview, and then the people that were doing the interview turned around and realized there was like an 8-year-old trying to play Genital Joust, and they started like screaming, like, "Oh God, get him off! Get this kid! Someone stop this child!" Like, "Oh my God!"
And everybody's just kind of looking at them, smiling because they think they're doing a bit.
Do you know what he's playing?
Yeah, they were like, "This isn't a bit. I know we yell a lot, but stop the child!
Stop the child from playing it! Don't avert your eyes!
Avert your eyes! This is inappropriate. That is funny.
That was." Probably one of my favorite parts of the show was going over the Devolver Digital area, getting some free beer and free food, and
nice
handling some cock,
playing with some dicks. And their bathrooms were super fucking nice though, because it was like, did you go into the bathrooms?
I did not. They had a
trailer that was just literally like marble countertops and like three urinals and one stall in a tiny trailer for like that was just the men's side
and a glory hole.
Yeah, well, I mean, that it was a
super nice bathroom, marble countertops.
It was air conditioned too. It was the best way to go.
Nice,
very nice.
Speaking of lords and cowards, I played the For Honor demo.
Oh yeah.
What was the demo that y'all played?
For Honor.
Like what happened in the demo?
Single player demo where you play as the knight.
Okay.
Probably the same thing you played, right?
I played as a knight, but I also got to play as a Viking.
What?
Yeah. So yeah, I played the knight. It was the Lords and Cowards mission.
I asked the guy, and he said you have to play as the knight.
Well, there was two missions, and I played both.
Well, fuck.
So yeah, the knight was interesting. It was kind of an introduction to combat. It was a little simplified. I like some of the elements in there. I really like the ability to kind of stun people and then throw them against walls and then you can knee them in the face or you can throw them off ledges and throw them into fire pits and stuff like that, or throw them into other soldiers. I really like that. But then I got to play the Viking mission, which was up the beach. And it was kind of, we saw some of it in the trailer that showed, that Ubisoft showed for Honor. You remember all the Vikings on the boats and they're dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And then the samurais were lighting arrows and trebuchets and launching stuff at them.
Yeah.
And so then you play this big Viking and you'll land the beach and you start running up. And so Vikings are really big, bulky guys.
Yeah.
They're a lot slower than the knights are and a lot slower than the samurai. So samurai are really fucking quick, real quick. And so you have to be really on your toes when it comes to blocking them. But the cool thing about the samurai is, or the Viking is even if a samurai is blocking, you can kind of get through his block.
Yeah.
Like, you'll still do a little bit of damage.
Just because you're so strong.
Because he's so fucking powerful. So in Up the Beach, you storm the beach, and the person there from who's developing this? Ubisoft? The person who was there talking to me was like, yeah, just kind of run past these people. Like, you can fight them, but it's annoying. Just run past them. And so I ran past them, and then there's this whole sequence of me climbing up, like scaling the side of the samurai tower with like a grappling hook, and they're like throwing things down at me, and then you get up there and you kill a bunch of dudes, and you have to open the gate so the Vikings can get into the temple. And it introduces a new mode called like I think it's called like Fury.
Yeah.
It's like in the one you played, you had that health boost.
Yeah.
There's another one that's Fury, and it makes your attack stronger and faster. You go into this like rage mode, which is pretty cool. It's like a booster, one time booster. It also introduced the revenge meter. And revenge meter is if you're blocking a lot, like you keep blocking and blocking, it builds up this meter. And once it's full, you tap triangle, and all of a sudden you go into like another like crazy mode, and you have infinite stamina, so you can just keep whacking and whacking and whacking. Because I fought this like, yes, exactly. At the end of like the area, I fought this masterful samurai guy,
yeah,
who was really fucking tough.
But you get to play as a Viking.
Yeah, in For Honor, I got to play a Viking.
Was it a single player mode?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the demo they showed at
Ubisoft. Yeah.
The booth was running. Everything I saw was the night.
Well, anyway, so the another thing they introduced in the samurai area were these walls of spikes. But the cool thing is you can knock people into those spikes and like kill them. Almost a Dying Light style.
Well, that's what spiked walls are for.
But the Viking, his block, you know, the knight, he kind of like does this little nudge thing.
Yeah.
The Viking, he does a nudge, but then he picks up the guy and runs with him and like throws them.
Oh.
And so I would nudge them, pick them up, run, and throw them into a wall of spikes. And you can even do that with the more elite soldiers too, like the heroes, the units, not just like the little guys. And that was a lot of fun. And yeah, fighting the final like boss samurai, that was really tough. A lot more difficult than the knight at the end of the knight segment.
Trial by combat?
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. I really like it. And one of the cool things I like about For Honor, and it's something I didn't notice at first, but like all of the damage you take is dynamic and self-represented on your body and on your armor and stuff like that. I really like that. It's cool.
Cool. Yeah, I'm actually pretty jazzed for that game, mm-hmm, or more so than I expected to be,
mm-hmm,
which is a nice surprise. I did actually stop by Sony today, and I played Horizon Zero Dawn,
mm-hmm,
which was one of my most anticipated games of the show, so I'm glad I actually got to play it. And so it was a theater presentation followed by a brief, like, 8-minute demo. Which is the one you played yesterday, but
yep.
What I didn't realize, so the theater presentation was the same thing we saw at the Sony conference,
yep,
but it was live. Like, there was someone controlling it, so it played a little bit different every time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance...
And there was definitely someone controlling it. Like, when I was playing it, like, he almost died.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't planned. Like, he made a couple mistakes.
The guy that was running the demo for mine, said that he's one of the, like, out of all the people that worked on the game, that he's one of the ones that tends to be like one of the best players,
mm-hmm,
and he did really, really good. Like, he took down that last
demon.
No, what are they
called? The corrupted
mm-hmm, corruptor. I think what they
corruptor,
called it.
Yeah.
Well, he called it a demon.
Well, yeah, he took down the corruptor of the demon really smoothly, mm-hmm, and like he managed to keep his mount alive throughout the entire thing too, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool just to see that combat scenario play out in a different way. But then we got to get some hands-on time, like you mentioned. And like you said, it was just a small area with about 7 or 8
enemies
roaming around. But they give you kind of the full weapon wheel, at least, mm-hmm, what we've seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
So I had like three different kinds of bombs, you know, ice, fire, thunder, electric, mm-hmm, electricity. Then I had two different kinds of like normal arrows, one that, I guess, packs a bigger punch.
Yep.
And then fire. The thing that the tether.
Oh yeah, the tether to trap and
yeah,
beasts.
And I like tried that to go through as many of those as humanly possible. And one thing I was going into this demo, and I was actually the thing I was most concerned about watching demos for this, is I felt watching it, I thought this was gonna be one of those games where the character is really heavy and like I one of the games where you have to like build momentum to get moving.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried it wasn't gonna be very responsive. Luckily, I was wrong. That character controls and is super responsive.
Yeah.
Controls really, really well.
It's pretty
like,
good.
Like, you can roll really quick, you can dodge really quick, you can react on a dime, which is nice. And you can quickly go into the aim mode and fire your arrows really.
Did
really
you get the
smoothly
slowdown working good and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And that ability, and you know, you can totally take down these enemies if you get good enough. Like, this seems to me like it's going to be very skill based in terms of like, you could potentially just get really, really good with basic arrows and be really successful. Just
headshots.
Because there's lots of like little tiny weak points on these on these enemies that you can hit for massive damage.
Yep.
But like little tiny like green canisters sticking out of the back of them, like on their hind legs. And I managed to get two or three of those shots, and when you get those, man, they feel so good, but you do so much damage.
Yep.
And I even took down one of the raptor...
The watchers?
The watchers. With a really lucky shot straight through the eye.
Dude, that's the best, right? And they one just, shot it just falls. Eye. It just goes limp and falls over. Oh, man. Yeah.
That game can... So, from what I've seen and played so far, I feel like it controls like a dream.
Yep.
So I'm actually really even more excited than I already was.
I will say this. That at least when I was playing, the whistling for the mount was very loud.
It was very
loud. Right? It's just a really high-pitched whistling right in your fucking ear holes.
Yes, that is very true. They might want to turn the whistling down just a hair.
Yep.
But yeah, Horizon's great. We did give another booth... So usually the way we do the booth awards every year is we have four of them, we split it up, and we each pick one that we want to give a booth award. So I picked Horizon. And, you know, it's good. I'm very, very excited. I hope that comes out. It's not coming out until 2017. Is that one of the games that got an actual release date in 2017? Or is that just... It was, like, earlier.
I know For Honor is...
We're not talking about For Honor.
Around that day. I thought it was around that.
I thought so, too. Point is, it's coming out early 2017. At least that's the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'd keep your eyes peeled for that, because that's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
February 28th.
Yep.
February 28th. Last day in February.
Thank you, Chai. All right. What else do we have? What else?
Yeah, the confirmation.
Okay, how about another one that we gave a booth award to?
Sure.
I gave my booth award to a little indie game called Manifold Garden.
Oh.
Have we talked about this yet?
No, we've not.
Not this year.
Bob, you can help me out here, because you know the game. Yeah. And the designer much better than I do.
Formerly known as Relativity.
Yep. Yeah, it used to be called Relativity. I think, if you look at screenshots, I think it looks very similar to... looks very similar to Antichamber.
Yeah, it's the common...
But it's not exactly like that. It's more like... Manifold Garden is a puzzle game, and it's more like running through M.C. Escher paintings. In more ways than just the way it looks, also the way the puzzle mechanics work. Most of the puzzles, it seems like you're moving blocks of a specific color onto squares of a corresponding color to complete circuits to like open doors to move forward. But the hook is that you can only manipulate a block if you are in that block's like color, like direction of gravity. Basically.
Yeah, so every direction has a color that's associated with it.
Right, and every wall, like every surface in the game, you can walk up to it, hit R2, and the whole world will shift so that that surface is now down.
Down,
the floor. So if there's like a red block on the wall and the floor is yellow, you'll walk over to that wall that the block is on, hit R2, everything will shift. Now that wall will be the floor and everything will be red, and you can move that block around. And... it gets interesting when you have to move the block over to squares that you can't reach while you're in that gravity. So you have to switch back and forth between different gravities, like set blocks to be shelves to put the block on. It's really weird. And then you go outside and it's like the open, like after you get out of like the structure that you're in, you go outside and you're just in an infinite space, and there's the structure that you are standing on. Is copied like in a tessellation in every direction infinitely. So if you fall off, you just keep falling and then you eventually land on it again. It's really weird. And there are other stages that were set up completely differently that looked even more like kind of trippy. I mean, God, it's really hard to explain without looking at it. It really, like, an M.C. Escher painting is like really kind of the closest thing I can come up with.
It's looking at this game makes me feel... Because, like, it's him and one or two other people?
William Cheer is the main designer on the game. He did some of the early development. He actually had recently had a developer, programmer join him and help him with the continued development. So it's basically two people
Which
working on it right now.
Which is crazy, because I'm looking at this world, and I'm just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
How does one person pull this out of his head? It's so complex.
He went to school for architecture.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of installation art for doing, like, I think he did a bunch of balloons and things, like, in various museums and things.
Huh.
Though the... If you look at the game, so it's not called Manifold Garden just because it sounds good. There's actually a gardening aspect to it.
A gardening?
So, yes.
I did see a tree in the one level I was in.
Yes. Yeah. So the cubes that you can pick up can be grown from the trees.
Okay.
And you can actually grow trees. So there are things in this world where you can actually kind of... there's a water mechanic where you can actually kind of redirect water to different parts of the world, and it wraps around because the world repeats.
Yeah,
right.
So if you were to walk over to a ledge and drop a cube off of it, eventually the cube's going to come back around from above you.
Down.
Yeah. So the water would do the same thing.
Good lord.
Yeah. So there's a lot of kind of layers of puzzles that continue to get revealed as you go through the game.
Yeah.
So it's a very kind of trippy experience to play within this world that is infinitely repeating while also kind of being able to adjust your own orientation in the world as you're maneuvering around it.
Yeah.
So. I mean, it looks like a great game to play if you're looking for something to do when you drop acid. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
I think you'd just be stuck in one place for like 8 hours while you wait, write it out.
Ridiculous. But it was so cool. I didn't even really play that much of it, but what I did play was so, like, I just counted. I played 23 games this week, and it's really hard for things to kind of, like, pop out at you in that. And, like, Manifold Garden definitely did that in, like, 5 minutes. It is a crazy project. I think he said he's looking to launch within the next 12 months, hopefully before next summer, on PS4 and PC. I would highly recommend checking it out.
Yep.
Yeah, he does dev streams throughout the week. So,
he said he does them
almost every day. Yeah. So if you want to kind of check out the development and kind of see where it's going, because he was like working last week or the week before, he was working on having blocks move based on axes of like the world. So as you orient yourself to the world differently, like move to a different surface, these things will actually move and react to the new orientation and gravity in the world that you have as well. And that kind of like complete circuits and things. There's a lot of really cool things he's doing with the game. And just checking out the dev stream is kind of a really, really kind of neat way to see how he's building these puzzles and kind of putting it together.
It's so good. I mean, every like screenshot I've seen in this game just looks like art.
Yeah. He has a screenshot mode where you basically can like start applying like filters and changing things on the camera and stuff, and then take a screenshot and save it.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Man.
Ugh.
That's cool. Well, the Gentleman's Club in chat brings up Watch Dogs 2, which Nolan played.
I played that today.
Tell us about it.
Hello, the Gentleman's Club. Watch Dogs 2. I showed up. And I was like, hey, can I play Watch Dogs 2? And they were like, yeah, wait, like 5 minutes. And I was like, okay. And then one of the devs was there, and I was like, hey, dev, I haven't seen anything about invading people's games and hacking them. What can you tell me about that? Because I really liked it. He was like, I can't really say if it's in the game or not, but I think you're going to like it.
That's actually a really good way to answer that question.
Excellent.
So anyway, I did get to play the game, and they have made a lot of improvements. They've at the same time expanded how you can hack, expanded the abilities behind hacking, and also made it more simple. So to make that more clear, the left bumper, or L1, is how you initiate hacking. So you either hold on to it to bring up a wheel of things you can do to that object, or you tap it and it will do the most common thing you would do when hacking that object. Yeah. So if it's like a water main, it's probably going to blow up when you hack it, so tapping it just blows up. If it's like a locked door, tap it, it's going to unlock. Stuff like that. which makes things really easy, because you can just look at it, tag, bam, you're done, ready to go. Or you can open up the thing, and like, for example, I think they showed a little bit, but cars, you can completely control them.
Yeah.
Like, you hack it, and you say, go forward, now go right, now go left, now go back. You can completely, from your little thing, control where the car...
So when you're actually doing that, are you looking at the interface on your phone and controlling
No, so you're not looking at the phone, you're just looking at... There's like a little radial icon that pops up in the bottom corner that has a car forward, car back, car left, car right icon.
But you're still looking at your character who's
outside
of the car.
You're still in the world, yeah.
And then you're controlling it.
A car that's driving around.
So it doesn't just jump to the car and look
like
you're driving it even though you're not in it?
No. Gotcha. So the weird thing is that how this game works is it's less of like an underground thing like Watch Dogs 1 was, you know, you're this underground hacker guy, and it's a very public thing. You know, you work for DedSec, and it's all about becoming a popular hacker and gaining popularity and gaining followers in this like hacking world, the hacktivist. So you to unlock missions, you need more followers. Like, to unlock story missions, you need people to follow you, like, via this thing. So by completing missions, by completing side quests, you'll gain notoriety and you'll gain followers. Oh. And so then that will unlock stuff to the point where the game is super non-linear. Like, you just have to have X amount of followers to do missions. So you can skip main story missions.
What?
By having enough followers. Like, you just don't have to do that mission because you have enough to do the next mission.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That's very interesting, though, the way they lay it out.
I hope that doesn't, like, break the experience.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's still a kind of a... You're just hacking, you know, stopping people, stopping bad hackers and stuff like that. Like, one thing they mentioned was a device I interacted with was called a Stingray. And it is a wireless device that hacks people's phones and steals information. And so you're trying to stop them from doing that because that's not cool. You're a good hacker, not a bad hacker. So I went and stopped that from happening. I did that by using a drone. The drone is one of the new abilities in this game.
That's that thing that he pulls out of his sock and throws into the air.
Yep. So you do that, you throw it up, you can go around, you can scan things. Another new introduction is the way like the hack vision works in this game. You click on the stick, the right stick, and all of a sudden the world goes like kind of a detective mode.
Yeah.
It goes all gray, and you can see key points. Like, you can see story missions off in the distance. You can just see like an icon, like not the icon, it's like a glowy, fuzzy line.
Yeah.
So you can just physically see it, like almost like a like an objective marker in the world, but it's only there when you pull up this vision. Stuff like that. So yeah, with the drone, you can fly it around, and the cool thing is you can leave the drone and return back to Marcus, or you can like cancel out of the drone so it goes back to you, or you can leave the drone in the air where it is, and then quickly switch back and forth between them. So you can put the drone somewhere where it might be useful.
Strategically?
Yeah, and then like do
sort of like a waypoint.
Yeah.
Trying to choose access.
Exactly. Also, in this new the hack vision mode, you can hack through walls. So in the past, if you remember from Watch Dogs, if you needed to get a camera, you'd have to do some weird go around to try and find a path. This, not anymore. If the camera's on the opposite side of a wall, you can hack through the wall.
Interesting that they take out one of the biggest puzzle elements.
Yeah, they've added other puzzle elements. Yeah, they've added more things, including that little remote-controlled robot you have as well.
Yeah.
Another thing is, you don't have to kill a single person in this game. There is literally no mission that it says kill XYZ.
It's really interesting.
You can do the entire game completely just by using like a stun gun and melee attacks.
That's cool.
Yeah. Fast travel is unlocked from the very beginning of the game. You can fast travel to any like store. I asked him, like, did you think people... He's like, you know what? People are still going to drive because they enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
But if they really want to fast travel, because sometimes it sucks when you do a story mission and it takes you to point A, and then the next mission point is point B on the exact opposite side of the map, sometimes that does suck. So they give you the ability to fast travel to stores. You can't fast travel to like waypoints or anything like that. I think that's about it. So once again, I didn't get to see any of the invasions.
Yeah.
But they all but told me that they are back. I asked him about co-op invasions, and he said, probably. He didn't say yes or no, so I'm not 100% sure how that process works. Yeah. But it is like drop-in, drop-out co-op. You can just like join someone's game and walk up to them and be like, hey, become my co-op partner. And yeah, they'll be like, yes. And then you can go off and co-op together.
I can imagine the co-op invasions will only happen when there's a you're invading a co-op game.
Probably, yeah. You're not. I doubt you're going to invade a single person when you're two, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Watch Dogs 2, November 15th. I'm pretty excited. I was not as excited until I played it, and I actually did enjoy what I played. Cool. Like I said, they simplified the things that were too complicated, and they gave you a little bit more of expansive options. I really like the phone interface of how missions work and stuff like that. The character seems a little bit better. I didn't get to see a whole lot of him. I only did like two missions.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to check it out when it comes out.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool.
Can I talk about a game that y'all didn't play?
Okay.
Not that I... Yes.
Is it Ace Combat?
Oh, actually, no. We did play.
You did play?
Okay. Maybe we're thinking of a different game.
Because I played Trials of the Blood Dragon.
Oh, no, we didn't. Ooh. We didn't play that. Although, Brad has played
it. Yeah, Brad streamed it.
Yeah, it's out. He streamed it. Mm-hmm. The whole game is out.
Son of a bitch.
But you didn't know
it? You're welcome to talk about it.
When they announced it at the Ubisoft conference.
I remember it being out. I just didn't think he was playing.
Oh,
you
okay.
Also specifically said, maybe don't buy it. I don't know why.
Well, I think he's entirely wrong, because this game is fun. It is fucking trippy.
It does certainly look trippy, and it is the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen as far as, you know, games go. Like, the crossover really doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but hey.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They decided to make it. So it's for those who don't know, Blood Dragon was a Far Cry 3 semi-expansion.
Yep.
Yes.
That was a tribute to, like, 80s laser heavy action B-films.
Yes.
Oh, well, in this, it's sort of like a sequel. You play as the children of Rex Colton, who was the hero.
There are characters?
Yes. Yeah. You play as the children of the main hero of Blood Dragon. And you're sent off by a Sergeant Slaughter lookalike from G.I. Joe on these missions. And there's this drug that has been permeating the world. It's called Turbo Crank. It's not just Crank, it's Turbo Crank.
Okay.
And
sounds like slightly worse Crank.
And it sends you into these weird hallucinations. So the first mission of the game has you infiltrating an enemy base to destroy Mother Tumor. Not okay. Mother Brain, Mother Tumor. Yeah. While using, initially, a motorcycle, but then getting basically the Mako from Mass Effect.
Nice.
To run into it and explode. And then you just start doing these random
missions.
But
all the missions are actual trials. Like Trials HD.
Well, yeah, they play it like a Trials mission, or level. But they build a story around it. And they've got cutscenes intermingling to explain what's going on. And
I like Trials. I like Far Cry Blood Dragon a lot.
The game starts fucking with you. At one point early on in the game, it decides to throw you into a Vietnam flashback. Despite the fact that you're in a far-off distant future of 2000-something. And you go through this, and it keeps kind of switching back and forth between you, you know, on a motorcycle. Just these Vietnam flashbacks, seeing blood dragons that are coming out of the background and attacking you. And switching back to a hospital bed, where you wake up.
On a motorcycle.
Where you land... Yeah,
at any
basically.
Point, are you not on a motorcycle?
Yes.
That's weird.
Yes. No, but what
that's
they,
weird.
What they've added to these mechanics is kind of cool. So, for the motorcycle, one thing they've added is a grappling hook that you can shoot out with the right stick
mm-hmm.
and attach it to certain objects in the environment and use that to swing in an arc to get across the map.
On a motorcycle.
On a motorcycle.
Okay.
And you
makes
just release
sense.
The stick and you go flying.
So I'm thinking about... I'm sorry, I don't mean to, like, look too deep into this, but I feel like if you're on a motorcycle and you use a grappling hook
mm-hmm.
and then you swing, but you have to hold on to the motorcycle with your legs and,
think of the
and
physics.
Swing...
You can just lock your feet into the little grips on the bottom.
I feel like that would rip your legs off.
Closed legs.
Nah.
close legs.
That's all you have to do.
Maybe do some squats. Maybe do some squats, Nick.
Yeah. And then it starts getting really interesting with some of the level design. One level sends you off to like an Aztec, you know, temple.
Did you play the whole game?
No, I played. So I think the whole game is available to play.
Well, it must be because you're talking about multiple levels.
But this was like, were you, I think that guy? Like 7 or 8 levels in.
Were you that guy, Chris Davis?
No, was the guy in front
the
of
guy
me.
Who I played like 3 or 4 levels. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So all I just picked up where he left off.
Fair enough.
There's this one level in an Aztec temple where this demonic voice is warning you to turn back and turn back, yada, yada, yada. Well, he starts fucking with the world, in which it starts rotating the camera and the entire world like something out of Refractor, okay? In which all the gravity goes bendy, but the perspective changes constantly. So you're going on these loops, and you think you're going to go flying, but then it has you come back and land on the left side of the screen. And then it goes upside down, and it'll turn right back side up. It's trippy as hell, but it works so well.
Well, now I'm curious as to why Brad didn't enjoy it much. Well, Zelgan in chat says Brad enjoyed the grappling hook and some of the stuff they added to the motorcycle sections. Something about an annoying timer?
Because normally when you reset from a checkpoint, the timer would go back up, but apparently it doesn't now.
Oh.
I don't know about that.
So it's probably little details that maybe hold us back a little bit. I don't know. We'll see.
The only thing that really kind of holds it back a little is the fact that there are on-foot sections in which you have
when
a
you're
gun.
Not on a motorcycle.
Oh, you're not on a motorcycle. And you're running around, side scrolling, shooting dudes.
Off a motorcycle.
Off a motorcycle. Nice. But it plays kind of like you're on a motorcycle, and it doesn't work well.
What the fuck? Okay. But there are not many of them.
There doesn't seem to be many of them. I saw like 1.5 levels of that.
Sounds to me like someone at Ubisoft was like, I have a stupid idea, but hear me out.
And then there are the motorcycle levels that have guns, in which you're shooting dudes. So, it's interesting. I think that if you're a Trials fan, I really encourage you to try it.
I think most people who are Trials fans will try it one way or another. You know, I even want to try it, because I like Trials.
The only thing that I don't like about the game thus far, truly and really and truly, is that it doesn't have the level editor system that Trials Evolution and Trials Fusion came with.
That's interesting.
They said, I talked to a dev, the reason why was because the physics and the level orientation tech they put into it is so advanced, evidently, that it will easily break a level when you're trying to just rotate things.
So you gotta be super careful.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Like they had to really fuck with the physics in this game.
Sounds like it. Well, that's cool.
Fun.
That's cool. I'm glad you like it. I do want to try it. I'm sure we'll talk about it on a podcast once we're all back from E3 as well. Real quick, we did talk a little bit about ReCore yesterday.
Yeah.
You played it today.
Yes, I did.
You enjoyed it. You even gave it your booth award.
Yes, I did.
Tell us real quick why you gave it your booth award. ReCore. That's all right. I don't mean to put you on the spot. ReCore. You liked it.
Well, first off, the combat was interesting. It felt kind of like Metroid Prime.
Okay.
Which, especially the lock-on system. It's not first person. It's entirely third person.
Okay.
So you have enemies that glow a certain color, and you have four different, there will be four different colors of them. But you can also fire in those four different colors. Now, if you fire in an opposite color, you'll do a little damage. But if you fire in the matching color of the enemy, you do, like, up to double damage.
Really? Because I feel like that goes against, what other games would try to teach
you. Think, like, Ikaruga.
Well, yeah. I also think back to, like, Devil May Cry, like, DMC, where, you know,
you want to use angel weapons on demons.
Yeah, like that.
Well,
exactly.
In this case, all the guns function the same. It's just a color.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's mainly a mechanic meant so that you don't just fire blindly. You constantly have to be aware of what you're targeting.
Yeah. I'm really bummed that I didn't get to play this today. Anyways, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, the demo was really short. I didn't get past the final boss at the end, which I think you did, because I didn't understand.
The one that spews the
the little mosquitoes?
Yeah, the basically like little bat things. You have to shoot the vents.
Yeah, you just had to destroy the vents, and then there's one more room after.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me. But but when you're playing it, the combat feels good. The amount of the variety of attacks you have, you got the basic, just hold down the right trigger to shoot.
Yeah.
They encourage you to fire in bursts because your spread will just go nuts. You also have a charge attack, just building up your power because you have infinite ammo, but it'll eventually drain. And you have to recharge it.
Didn't we talk about this yesterday?
We did.
Okay.
But
I'll be real quick then. I like the robot companions. The spider I didn't get that much out of, but the dog was especially helpful in combat because he would distract.
I believe his name is Mac.
What's the split between combat and platforming? Like, is it 50-50 or is it mostly platforming, mostly combat? Like,
it felt 60-40 combat platforming, but the game really encourages you to during combat to constantly jump around and dodge enemy attacks.
Yeah.
So it's not like character action game where you're constantly dodging or blocking or anything like that, but you are getting shot at very often and there's a lot of AoE attacks and you want to use your double jump and your dash, especially your air dash, which is really helpful. Basically feels like the air dash from Mega Man or Mega Man X.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. I'm glad we gave it a
I was about to go sit in line to play it. But there's only like an hour.
It's a really long line.
And I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it. Yeah. So I said, fuck it.
And the only other game I played today was Rock of Ages 2. It was a very basic demo. It was an obstacle course thing where you're racing against another boulder. And I don't know. It was fun, but it wasn't anything special.
Gotcha. Is there anything special that anybody else does want to throw in?
I did play Ghost Recon Wetlands.
Wildlands?
Wildlands. No, it's Wildlands.
It doesn't make me wet. I'm sorry.
What was the demo that you
that
played?
That was gross.
What was the demo you played, Chris Davis?
It was in the Xbox booth. You had
It's the same one they showed at
you
the capture
the lieutenant, right? Then you go and infiltrate the enemy base, and you hack the computer, and then you...
Okay, so yeah, that's the demo I played as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree with everything that Chris Davis had mentioned yesterday about it. It's okay. Nothing super special about it. I do like the whole co-op aspect of it. It does seem very focused on, teamwork. But other than that, meh. I think one of the reasons I had a good time was because we had a team leader who was a dev on the game, kind of guiding us and helping. Make sure you do this.
Keeping everybody on track.
Yeah, I mean, I think if it's just four random guys who don't know what the fuck they're doing, things might not go so smoothly.
The game is going to need several things. One of the things I think it really needs is for your actions to have an impact on the world.
Okay.
Because the demo was very brief. But didn't feel like I was actually helping the people.
It's a big ass world.
It's huge.
I will say that the world that you're in is fucking big.
It's probably one of the
biggest. The entire demo we played lasted, I don't know, maybe half an hour. And then at the end of that, like, all right, look at your map, and now zoom out, and it shows you the highlighted spot of what you had seen, and then the rest of the map. Was like ridiculous size in comparison. So this is a very large game.
Is the world impressive?
I don't know. I only got to see a small chunk of it. We are kind of, there's different regions in the game. So I mean, we were in like this central region, and there was this mountainous region off to one side, and this other like foresty region off to another. So I only got to see that one part. But it seems pretty big and I don't know, hopefully eventful.
There's lakes, there was a canyon they pointed out, things like that.
It's, yeah.
You really can't tell at this point.
Alright.
Well, I will say though, what happened to me today. Happened to me today?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
When I was at the Ubisoft booth, I saw a couple of people. First, I was playing For Honor, and someone came up behind me. And he was like, hey man, I'm not gonna play, I'm just gonna watch you. And I was like, all right. And then I looked back and I was like, wait a second, you're Thomas Middleditch? Is that his name? Main character from Silicon Valley?
Oh, the nerdy one?
Yep, the guy who was in, like, he did like the slap drop in the College Humor like video.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh wow, you're Thomas Middleditch, and he was like, yeah, don't disappoint me. And I was like, okay. And I think he only watched me for a couple of minutes, and then another demo thing opened, and he jumped onto that.
Don't disappoint me.
And then I saw Robbie Amell, which is Stephen Amell's little brother. He was there. I didn't say anything to him. And I also saw Lucas Till. Is that his name?
Sounds right.
Huh? He's a Havoc in the X-Men, the new X-Men movies, and he's going to be MacGyver in the new MacGyver TV show, which doesn't look super promising to me. So, yeah.
Should have punched him.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Lucas Till.
Like, oh, there he is.
Yep. I'm waiting for the... Yep, that's him.
Oh, this guy.
Yep.
That's MacGyver?
Yeah, he's going to be the new MacGyver.
You haven't seen that trailer?
Don't watch it.
Oh,
and also, when I played Ghost Recon, my teammate was Max Charles, a approximately, I don't know, 12-year-old.
Okay, first of all, when you go into the front doors of E3, there is a big sign that says, no one under the age of 17 will be admitted.
Yep.
Period.
Yeah.
It still happens.
It still happens.
But this kid's famous, though.
What's his name?
Max Charles, I believe.
That's not his name.
Max
Charles.
Yep, that's him. How old is he?
Oh my god, he's so small.
He's 12. I was right. He's 12.
What?
He was a baby Spider-Man in the new Spider-Man movies. He played
the
young
Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, he played a young Peter Parker.
What else was he in?
Community.
He was
apparently.
In... Oh, he's the little fucking kid in The Strain.
Okay, there you
go. The Strain.
Oh, he was Sherman in Mr. Peabody.
I fucking hate that kid.
Yep.
In The Strain. I hate that kid in The Strain. Sorry.
He was my co-op partner in Ghost Recon.
Oh, young Pierce in Community.
Yep.
You should have sent him over to the Devolver Digital booth.
Yeah.
He was in True Blood.
True Blood. All right. But anyway, that's besides the point. Yeah. Apparently, all the famous people that go to E3 go to the Ubisoft booth.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's where they go to hang out. I don't know. Anyway. Well,
who knew?
Yeah.
Well, I've got one game really quick I'd like to talk about.
Sure. All
right. It's I went back to VR because I'm a masochist. And I got to try 100-foot robot golf.
See, I had an appointment for that, but since Nintendo took me 3.5 hours, I didn't get to make my appointment.
Yeah, well, it might not have been the best thing because it was an alpha. I actually got a little sick because it crashed on me and it started warping my vision. But once I recovered, they let me get a second run at it. And it's like your basic golf game. You know, you have your standard, this is where the shot's going to go. This is your level. You have to time the meter to hit it just right. Keep aware of winds, the usual stuff. The catch is, one, you're a 100-foot robot. Two, you're playing against someone at the exact same time. So you're both golfing for the hole at the same time.
Wow.
And you have to physically run to your ball, and you can interfere with your opponent. So in my case, I was trying to run for the ball. I made a good shot. It's on the green. And I see him land, and he lands in nearby a cityscape. So I decided to say, fuck you. And I just ran over, and I started bashing the buildings down. And they all fell right in front of his ball.
Nice.
I Happy Gilmore'd him, basically.
Yeah.
And so he wasted like 3 shots trying to hit it through the building until he finally broke it.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I'm running around. And then he comes up, and he bashes me on the back of the head. So it delays my shot. Then he shoots a rocket, trying to blow up other buildings in my way. And you're basically just racing as best you can to get to the hole.
Nice.
So it's not about... Well, you do get a bonus for not shooting as much.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one goal is beat your opponent there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I lost because I had another glitch and I got messed up.
That
but
sucks.
It was great because apparently the winner, once you make your shot, all your robot does until the other person finally makes it in is just dances.
Nice.
Your robot just nonstop dances.
Nice.
And then when the loser just blows up and collapses. I wouldn't ordinarily bring this up, but the game is interesting because it has a full campaign that's planned, all based on the classic 80s, 90s anime style, and it is not a VR exclusive game.
That's a very good thing to know.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to play, just not on VR maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. About the only new thing I played that hasn't been discussed at the table.
Wonderful.
I've got one more I want to talk about.
All right, Chris, bring it home.
I played the Bloodstained demo.
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
I did.
We are all backers of this game.
You know what's crazy about it? As soon as you start playing it, feels like Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
That's good.
It's almost
as if someone who made that game was involved.
I mean, yeah, down to like the timing and the jumps and sword slashing.
All right, so here's a question.
Like I hit the start I hit the start button to bring up the menus, and I was just, like, running through without even looking at the options. Like, it just, it was there. It was it.
I have a question for you.
It was good.
And this is coming from someone who admittedly hasn't played Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
But I was watching you play, and first of all, the game looks gorgeous. It's coming along very nice.
So pretty.
It's coming along nicely. I was noticing there seemed to me to be a lack of variation in attacks. Like, you were just, it was just kind of like, jump, do an attack, jump, do, like, it didn't seem, like,
well,
it didn't seem to flow super well. And I'm wondering how much of that is, one, it's early in the game, you don't have a bunch of stuff to,
I mean,
like,
part of it is that it's early in the game and you don't really have that much. Part of it's that, like, you're just really dumb. Part of it is that there's, like, a lot of hidden... I'm just joking. I'm sorry. Anyway. I mean, yeah. Like, when I was playing Symphony of the Night, like, your main attack is, like, swinging your sword or whatever you had equipped. So, like, I started with a sword, and then later on I got Kung Fu Shu, so her attack changed to kicks. But I didn't find any, like, I should have fucking looked up the combos. I didn't even think about it, but I didn't try doing any of the, like, magic attack combos. But in Symphony of the Night, Alucard has magic attacks that are, like, Street Fighter-style combo inputs that he always has. You don't have to learn them. You just, like, as soon as you do it once, you unlock it.
Yeah.
So there was always stuff like that. She also... During the course of the demo, I got two what are called shards, which are basically like they're kind of like the, I don't know if these are from like the Sorrow Castlevania games, but they were kind of like secondary weapons from Symphony of the Night or like magic attacks, but just mapped to a button on the controller. So she had one where she could shoot fire, and she got both of these from killing specific enemies. So, like, the first time I killed a turret enemy, I got the fire attack. And the first time I killed a, I don't know, it was like a squid or something like that, I got a water attack. And there were, like, these range kind of projectile attacks that you could do, which were really helpful for taking out some of the enemies. Like, there was these big knights that had flails, where there was a dead space between the flail and the body where you could stand without getting hit, but you had to, like, jump over the flail when he wrenches it back. If you were attacking melee, but this way you could stay out of his range and kind of hit him with fireballs and kill him pretty easily. The demo was about, I don't know, 10 minutes running through rooms. There was a few secrets to be found. Like, I did a fireball attack with, like, not paying attention once, and it broke a wall, and I found a secret room that had like high potions and high elixirs in it. It was really cool.
You also fought a boss with very large breasts.
Yeah, at the end, like, the level takes place on a ship, like a pirate ship, and at the end you go up on deck to the prow of the ship, and a very large Ursula type squid lady comes out of the water and attacks you, and you just keep punching her
in the boobs.
Yeah, well, she had these giant, like, mouth below her boobs that was, like, shooting fireball or, like, water attacks at you.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd take, like, 8 damage every time you hit her there. But if you hit her in the boobs, she would take 12 damage.
Ooh.
So, aim for the tits.
Go for the boobs!
Which I did.
Mm-hmm. They're basically small targets.
These are large targets.
They're very large targets.
They were low-hanging, too.
Oh, that's nice.
They were always kind of at the top of the screen,
because
they're, like, they're kind of off-screen, but, like, because, like, the focus is the giant mouth coming out of her stomach, but, like, the underboob was always kind of coming in from the top of the screen.
Nice.
I would imagine that the section I played is going to be part of that backer demo coming soon.
Probably.
So you'll see what I'm talking about. But, yeah, I mean, it... It feels like Castlevania Symphony of the Night, which is the only Castlevania I've played, so that's all I have to compare it to. I assume it's similar to other Igavanias. But its pedigree shows through in spades. It is really good. I can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Awesome. Neither can I. Is there anything else?
That's it.
All right.
Thank God.
E3 2016 is over.
It's a wrap.
We are very... Here, I'm going to turn the microphone towards me a little bit. Okay. E3 2016 is over. We are all very tired. We thank you guys for hanging out, for listening, for tuning in every night.
We thank you if you happen to be in LA and you came by and said hi this evening. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And we will be back to our regularly scheduled podcast next week. Well, I don't know if we'll do a podcast next week. That's yet to be decided. Personally, the thought of doing another podcast right now is just enough to make me want to just end it all. But we'll be doing something next week, so you can look forward to that. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, we still have a few vlogs. We haven't had much time to edit said vlogs because we've been, you know, podcasting and going to the show floor and all that stuff.
We've been getting, like, maybe 6 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah, so we have a lot of footage to sort through. We'll get those kind of put together in some vlogs and get those out to you guys so you can check out all of our shenanigans while at E3. We had a good time. We always have a good time. So we thank you guys for all your support. Thank you guys personally also for helping us get here. You guys helped us make this trip possible, help us make certain equipment upgrades possible, and make our traveling super smooth through your support. So thank you guys much.
You did it.
And we're going to go to bed now because we have to get up super early and fly. So, well, not super early. But
early,
we have to travel.
Early enough.
We have to travel tomorrow, and we're ready to sleep. So thank you guys for listening. We will see y'all later. 4playernetwork.com. Good night.
Bye, guys. Bye.